This conference is being recorded.
Hello and welcome, everyone. Did someone else just join us? Oh, it sounds like we have might be on a cell phone. That's a little hard to hear. Well, however you're joining us, whether it's on a cell phone that's hard to hear, or if even if you're listening to this call as a from our website in a little while. For those who are live on the call, good for you to know that it is being recorded. And I'm hearing a bit of an echo on my end. Are the listeners hearing an echo as well?
Yep.
I do.
Let me just step out of the record mode and see if we can re-record without the echo. Or is it better now? Is that better?
Yes. Yes.
Okay, you guys just let me know if it gets funky again. So my name is Sheva, for those who don't know me, and I'm the CEO of a company called Sierra, which makes me smile just to say it. I don't know how many CEOs just smile just at their position in their company and they love the name, but Sierra is a name that we created to define and have a language for feeling great, essentially. And encompassed within that, all the benefits that feeling great brings to our health, our vitality, our performance, our ability to understand life, one another. It turns out that research from an institute in Northern California called HeartMath has been able to show that what we might call positive feeling states, not artificially generated but genuine, positive feeling state have significant impact on our physiology, creating ordered rhythms in the heart that then have wide-reaching impact on our nervous systems, our hormones, our aging, and our sense of youthful vitality, as well as our brain function, our immune systems, our ability to fend off disease, think clearly, respond appropriately, perceive life accurately, be creative, and enjoy life, a higher quality of life. So Fiera is a company designed to bring more Fiera to people like you who are listening and into our world so that these Heart Start calls are a part of that mission here, a free service that we offer the community is an oasis where people can tap into what we're calling that Fiera feeling and maybe gain some understanding about how that can impact their lives, whether they end up learning the tools that we offer to access that or they source it in another way. I was with someone this morning who's an avid rock climber, and it was very fun to listen to him describe his experience when he's rock climbing because it's so much the experience that we're teaching people how to access with the tools that we offer to access this feeling state called Sierra and the ordered heart rhythms it creates. He gets into that state being out there on the rocks where he feels completely in communication with the rock as if he just knows where each next finger hold and toe hold is without seeing it. That kind of knowing without knowing how we know, or more typically called intuition, is another piece of the Fiera feeling that it actually has been now scientifically proven to enhance intuition even at an unconscious or subconscious level. We may talk some about that today. The nice thing about Fiera and the tools that we offer here at the company Fiera are that you don't need rock climbing gear. You don't need the flexibility to be a rock climber or the courage. And even if you are a rock climber and you're stuck in traffic on your way to your favorite rock, you can still access that great feeling and all the benefits it brings just in your own heart itself. Now, I'm still hearing that feedback. Are you guys?
Yes.
All right. Let me just take a moment to stop the recording and then start it again because I think that will be a distraction for us, and who needs that? Give me one second here. Nicole, will you also still let people know if they join in that we're just getting our recording sorted out?
Yeah.
Okay, thanks, hon. Okay, can you guys hear me now? Still that feedback. Is it terribly distracting for you guys, or is it okay?
It's not too bad for me.
Okay. So if it is, somebody speak up and let me know.
It seems, Sheva, there's certain points where it's not engaging, and I don't know if maybe it's because you're closer or farther from the microphone or something, but at some points you're perfectly clear, and then at some points you're going into echo.
Yeah, I know. I can hear it too, and it's not. I mean, I'm just holding a phone up, so it's not.
Oh, yeah,
it's not that. Well, the topic of tonight's call is miracles. So maybe we can start by asking for a telecommunication miracle. And in a way, if we pause to think about it, and this is really how I intended to start the call, so what great support from the universe. Telecommunication itself is a miracle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I when I had the intuition to do tonight's call on the topic of miracles, I reacted to that a little bit at first, because usually on these calls we're connecting to or speaking about things that might be in the vernacular considered a little bit more practical. And yet, of course, if you think about it and you're suffering from a terrible illness and you have a sudden recovery, what could be more than a miracle? So I stayed with the idea of the miraculous because the heart in my own life, and I've seen now in the lives of some of my clients here at Fiera, is genuinely a source of what we call miracles. And I thought, wow, how great to demystify miracles on the one hand, give an access code to being able to generate more of them on the other, and to feel the great feelings that we get to share in knowing that what seems impossible could be possible. And I want to start the call with that, with just taking a moment for each one of you who are listening to drop attention into your own heart and to be with a question: if anything were possible, what would you like to see in the world? If you could take a moment to remove your resignation about what is possible, and to do so based on the foundation of appreciation that many people who've gone before us have created or allowed miracles like that that we now take absolutely for granted on a day-to-day basis. Things like right now I can hear an airplane flying over my office. A few hundred years ago, people stepping into a big metal object and going up into the sky and flying across the country in less than a day, that would have been considered a miracle, right? Something impossible that became reality because the Wright brothers are willing to remove their resignation and see a possibility where others didn't. And so if you could just take a moment, because one of the qualities that I've experienced of the intelligence of the heart is that it's not resigned to things as they are. It sees what can be inside of what is, while at the same time recognizing what is, and then the unique intelligence that's there can empower us to actually move life into what's possible, whether it's the airplane or the electric light bulb. Some of these things, or the very telephone that we're all able to communicate on now. These things, when they first were invented, when they were innovations, were perceived as miracles.
Sheva?
Yes.
Hi,
Uzi. Welcome to the call.
Hi, Sheva. I'm hearing a constant echo doing what I can do.
Yeah, we're all working with that tonight, and we've tried to adjust it and haven't quite been able to do that, so...
Okay.
Wonderful to have you here.
Thank you, Sheva.
Yeah. So I'm going to be quiet for a moment. The echo will stop then. And just to let you drop your attention into the area around your heart to appreciate either something in your own life experience that you've experienced as a miracle, or something in your own desire that you'd like to see in the world that would seem like a miracle. And we could define that as something that happens that would seem to be impossible or something beyond your expectation or imagination. And to just appreciate the miracles you've already experienced. And to open to the possibility that, something miraculous could come, could happen. Something beyond what you think is possible. And I want, in particular for tonight's call, as if you guys had read that invitation, open up the possibility for you to share your own stories. And periodically I'll just have a moment where people could do that. And I encourage you to interrupt me if you have a strong desire to share a story of your own. And that can be a platform for us to look into the power of the heart and how that may have played a role in the story of your own miracle. There's a lot of angles in my own experience of the heart and heart intelligence and Sierra feelings and how they generate access into that heart intelligence as generative of miracles. One that comes to mind that some of you may be aware of is a website and email that was going around on the internet for a while, a woman that lived in the town where I grew up when I was young, Halifax, Nova Scotia, who experienced what she called a miracle when she and her son hydroplaned in their car on a rainy day into a bog, and their car flipped over. It was upside down. I believe it was upside down, and it started, it started to fill with water because she tried to open the door, and it wouldn't do that. So she assumed, knowing what she did about physics, that if the car filled with water to a certain point, the pressure would equalize and she'd be able to get the door open. And so she didn't panic right away. She stayed in what we would call a Fiera state of alert calm, which we know from HeartMath research allows a person to access the higher centers of the brain to perceive things more clearly and respond more effectively. So her thinking mind, even though she and her very young son, I believe he was about 6 years old, were in a life-threatening situation, she maintained her poise and equilibrium. And then, you know, I think, just to say, I think that this feedback is actually coming from somebody who may be on the call who's on the internet.
I was actually thinking that typically in my experience of doing these things, it's either voice over internet protocol through the VoIP or someone using a speakerphone or a cell phone.
Yeah, so anybody who's doing that, if you could just mute, which you can do if you're on a cell phone by pressing *6, that generally gives feedback. Thank you so much. And then just remember, if you have a story that you want to share, if you press *6, then that'll bring you back in. That seems better, huh?
That's much better.
Yeah.
You must have accessed your higher intelligence.
That's right. Well, that's the beauty, really, of the heart, is it when the heart is in this ordered pattern, and of course telling this woman's story does elicit for me a Sierra feeling. We can see on an MRI, which is a magnetic resonance of the imaging that they do in Western medicine, where you can actually see where there's more blood flow, more hot spots in the body. When we're in that positive feeling state, those ordered heart rhythms open up the higher centers of the brain and increase communication between the brain. Yes, there actually is a brain in the heart and the brain in the brain. Research has shown that the brain in the heart knows things up to 5 seconds, and that's just the research, before the brain in the brain. So when that communication is enhanced, we do know more. We have a broader perspective. We get ideas or have an understanding of things like, huh, maybe it's from someone else's line. That's that intuition kicking in. Good one, Uzi. So this woman is in her car and is filling with water. At a certain point, she realized that even as the water filled all the way to the top, that for some reason that didn't equalize the pressure and she couldn't get the door open. Right before they lost air, she looked at her son and told him to hold his breath and that she was going to get him out of there. And then when she realized that that wasn't going to be possible, this is where her miracles began. And she felt her lungs fill with water. And again, reached for her son, which is what? An act of love for him, right? Love, we know, is a form of that fiera emotion that creates order in the heart rhythm. So rather than going into fear or panic, she was moving from love for her son. She wanted to hold him as they died. Staying in that love allowed her an access to a higher intelligence through the process, and she began to intuitively hear directions. And the directions told her to relax rather than resist the water. And then she had a whole journey that she experienced, which you guys can read on her website. I won't take the time to explain all of that now. Her website is firethegrid.org, I believe. If you do a Google search on Fire the Grid, then you'll be able to find her. We're also on YouTube. There's a video of her telling her own story, which is more effective than me telling it. However, I think it's poignant in the sense that, of course, there she is on YouTube telling her story. So she didn't die. Even though she was underwater for a significant time.
I remember when I watched her on YouTube, there was such a feeling of calm that came over me.
Mm.
Remarkable.
Mm.
It's like in 8 installments on YouTube. So, you know, it's quite a block of listening time.
Yes, and, you know, now you could go back and listen to it again for those who have already seen it, in the context of understanding that what she experienced may not just be New Age angelic woo-woo, but it's actually explainable, possibly, through heart science.
Near-death experience, there's a whole science behind it.
Say that once more, Uzi. I couldn't
hear. Near-death experience, which is what she had, has an entire science behind it.
Yes, but I'm not just speaking about near-death experience. I'm speaking about even in a very difficult situation, being able to maintain your equilibrium and have access to a higher intelligence. That's something that's accessible to any of us, even if the difficult situation is not near-death. Right? We can access that in traffic and experience the miraculous there. So the ability, first of all, I think that we have, well, this is a very dramatic miracle. Both she and her young boy were saved from this situation. She first, and then as soon as she came to, she said, well, where's my son? You have to get my son out of there. So he was trapped underwater for longer than she was. And by the time they pulled him out, they decided that even if he did make it, he would be a vegetable because his organs had been so damaged by being underwater. And yet her taproot into this intelligence and intuition that she'd gained access to in that state of calm in the car and that state of love for him, again, which we know creates this ordered heart rhythm, enhancing the communication between the heart and the brain, kept speaking to her and said, no, he's going to be fine, and gave her direction on what to do. And here's the interesting thing. What that intuition had her do essentially was one of the tools that we teach in the Fiera workshops, which was to bring in groups of people. The groups of people is not the tool, but radiating love and care to her son in the hospital. We know, again, from the HeartMath research that radiating love and care produces what in the heart rhythm?
Different heartbeats.
It produces an order, yeah, a distinctly ordered heartbeat, heartbeat pattern, I should say. And that order in the heart rhythm then allows this natural self-healing tendency of the body to be enhanced. And in the workshops, we go into, of course, why that is, how it's impacting the nervous system, the hormone system, the immune system, and why that enhances our ability to self-heal. Of course, all true healing is self-healing. I never met a skinned knee that went to the drugstore for a Band-Aid to heal itself. Healing is our own natural intelligence, and when we are in a state of order in ourselves, healing occurs. So that it's not unusual to me, the miraculous stories of sudden remissions of very life-threatening diseases like cancer or other diseases, where in one moment a person is experiencing one maybe a very life-threatening disease and then they go to the doctor a week later and it's gone. That may seem like a miracle, and yet there's a natural state of order that we can access in our bodies, which isn't to say if we don't that there's something wrong. It's just to say that there is a way that we can tap into that and create the miraculous in our own experience. So, again, I can't say that I know exactly what happened to this woman in the bog that day, but when I read her story and discovered that as each of these family members and very dear friends came to her son's bedside and were radiating their care, their compassion, their love to him, I was deeply moved to discover that in complete contradiction to what the doctors had predicted, her young son, several days into this, was running through the halls and playing with toys. And is certainly not, as we would say, a vegetable. And it was confirmation of my own direct experience and of, in a way, the science that I've learned from HeartMath, that our love and our care radiates this ordered pattern in ourselves and into those we love and has impact that creates what some to the outside might look like a miracle. So I want to take a moment and just open up the call for anybody who would like to share any experiences in their own lives and ask any questions, and we could look at, was the heart at play there?
Well, Shiva, I want to ask you a question.
Please.
And I want to just preface by saying I'm going to have to excuse myself before you end, because I have a prior obligation. I'm just thrilled to be with you for as much as I can today.
Thank you, Uzi. You're very welcome here.
Thank you. See, here's what I found. After the last Sayera call that I was on, I tried to put to work the skill of appreciation. And what I found is that if I can get to that place of ordered heartbeat, then everything's done already. But sometimes the inner stress or the inner angst that's going on is such that I can get to that place. And no amount of thinking about appreciation does any good. The stress seems to have a life of its own. So sometimes I have this, like when I was watching Shelley on the YouTube, was this amazing calming sense. And sometimes I'll read a good book or hear a good, but often when I'm by myself and stressed about something, I can't get to that place. No matter what I think.
Well, it's a wonderful point that you make, Uzi, and speaks to what has been miraculous in my own life, which is that when I first started working with the HeartMath tools, I was suffering from very severe post-traumatic stress, and a state of calm or appreciation was completely unfamiliar territory for me. So even just to have the experience of that at all for me in the early days was a miracle, let alone to stabilize in it, even when I was by myself. So I have a lot of compassion and understanding for what that's like. And, of course, that's why we offer classes and techniques and also biofeedback technology to help people stabilize in that, because as you so eloquently said, Uzi, there's no amount of thinking about things you appreciate that will help you feel appreciation when your physiology is in a stressful momentum. What touches me about Shelley, I'm glad you brought in her name. Do you know her last name? It would be so great to say that.
I think it's Yates.
Shelley Yates?
I think so, but you know what? You talk, and I'll just quickly check on.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.
I had a whole bunch of emails on this. You know, on the
yeah,
list.
Here I am sharing her story. It would be nice to refer
so
people directly
Shelley.
To the horse's mouth, so to speak. So one of the things that I find so moving about her particular story is that in a situation, clearly, you know, she describes that she herself, before this happened, was in a state of what you're describing, Lucy, as apathy and depression and not particularly feeling much appreciation for life.
Mm-hmm.
And being brought face to face with the possibility of losing her life actually was the very thing that elicited in her the realization that she wanted to live, that there was enough here that she did appreciate and how much she loved her son. And I think the beauty of hearing stories like that and having tools especially that are step-by-step simple processes that help our bodies shift, because the thinking mind can't do it, it's got to happen in the body, will allow us to access those feeling worlds of appreciation without needing to be put in a dramatic, life-threatening situation in order to feel that. And so it's definitely, you know, even if we look at the science, the brain is 60 to 80 times less powerful electrically than the heart. So if the brain is trying to go for a concept of appreciation, we won't necessarily experience that order. It's got to come from the heart. Which is why in our language we say things like, put your whole heart into it. We don't say, hey, put your whole brain into it. Think about it really hard. And so the ability to make that shift at the level of our emotions or our feelings is a skill. It's a kind of mastery, which is why at Fiera we offer what we call the Heart Mastery Program, a year-long program that for a relatively inexpensive price, people can access the context like the Heart Start calls every day so that they have
they
support.
Can access what can they access?
A context like the class, a Heart Start call, like what you're on right now.
Mm-hmm.
There's a call almost every day with classes that teach specific techniques.
Shelley
and in
Yates.
The Heart Mastery Program, people can call into those every single day so that they have constant reinforcement for a year-long time. A period of a year, so that they're able to really strengthen that muscle, because, of course, the heart is a muscle.
Her name is Shelley Yates.
Thank you. Shelley Yates, for those of you
Yates.
Look up her story online and hear her own experience.
And it's firethegrid.com.
Okay, so it's .com. Yeah.
Firethegrid.com. Uh-huh.
Thank you very much, Uzi.
To be of service to you, Sheva.
Hey. Oh.
I was reaching out in compassion.
Beautiful. You know, the other piece that you're reminding me of, Uzi, is just the fact that this order in the heart,
mm-hmm.
one of the qualities that I hear people describe in the miraculous is that it takes shape in their lives as synchronicity.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe the listeners could pause for a moment and just think about in your own life, when have you experienced fun synchronicities? My father, who was an extreme atheist and a scientist, so anything that smelled of woo-woo was not his thing. And yet he had a fascination for synchronicity and actually taught in the medical school where he worked a course called Serendipity in Science. And the Serendipity in Science course, which I really wish I had his syllabus for that, but I do remember as a teenager him working on it, and he started the course by talking about how penicillin was discovered. And penicillin was discovered by accident because I believe that there was a mold growing in the Petri dish, and whoever discovered penicillin, his name is not coming to my mind right now, looked down, and rather than seeing the mold as an error, what he saw is that the mold was starting to eat away at the bacteria that was there. Now, the ability to look in our day-to-day lives and see things that could normally irritate us as information that could be useful, that requires higher intelligence. And so there was this remarkable synchronicity that took place from there, where the researcher that discovered that found, antibiotics, a substance that we can create that kills bacteria. And so the serendipity or synchronicities of life naturally come to us more. Maybe they don't come to us more. Let me rephrase that. We're able to perceive them more when we have a broader intelligence, a broader perceptual field that we can access in that state of order in our own heart rhythms. And the order in our own heart rhythms naturally draws more order to us. Being in sync with ourselves, we're naturally more in sync with life, and then synchronicities happen. When this scientist, atheist father of mine, one of the most excited emotions I'd ever seen in him, he was like a little boy. He called me in my college dorm and said, "Sheva, you won't believe this." This for him was a genuine miracle. He'd been looking for some friends of his for quite some time, hadn't been able to track them down, had just written them a postcard in Calgary where he was giving a talk at a medical conference, dropped the postcard into the mailbox, stepped into the Borders books next to the mailbox, and there in Calgary were these friends he'd been trying to track down. That simple little synchronicity for him was a miracle. And yet, if we look at what was generative in that story, it was his care for his friends. His genuine care for his friends. And again, we know from HeartMath research, care creates synchronization in our heart rhythms, in our nervous systems. We can see it on a biofeedback technology. It puts us more in sync with life. Someone once said to me, "Sheva, miracles are accidents, but you can always make yourself more accident-prone." And so living in sync in your heart allows you to be more miracle-prone. Any other stories or anything else that anyone who's on the call would like to share?
You know, personally, I think we're very fortunate to be living in the time we're living in, because when your dad was is your dad still alive?
He's not.
When your dad was alive... the sense of science and the scientific process being against faith and leading rational people away from faith was very strong. Whereas today, thanks to near-death experiences, thanks to past life regressions and the whole literature around that, science is actually leading us back to some sense of faith and oneness. Not necessarily a particular religious belief, but certainly a sense that the universe is very connected and it is much more than what we see.
Yes, and people don't even have to believe in past lives or any of that stuff for the modern science to be leading us into that sense of unification, that sense of connection, that sense of having a better quality of life, not just rationally, but at the emotional level. That's one of the reasons I love HeartMath research. You know, it's very simple, very actual, very real. It doesn't necessarily go into what for the average postman on the street would be inconceivable or unbelievable, and yet it makes the miraculous accessible to them, even in the full ability to appreciate the little things of life.
Susan Sheva, dear, I'm so sorry, but I need to go. And you know that I'm local here in L.A. When you have a class in person, you know
yes.
that I'm ready to come, right?
Ah, beautiful, Uzi. Well, that's a good opportunity for me just to mention to the whole group that the next in-person beginner workshop is August 11th, which is Saturday.
Good, so sign me up.
Okay, great. I look forward to seeing you then, Uzi. And for those who are non-local, the next telephone online class, which is a four-week...
Those who are not local can't have a non-local event using heart math and synchronicity and making a miracle and showing up here?
Well, they're absolutely welcome to do that, or they can piggyback on Alexander Graham Bell's miracle And join us on the phone and online starting on August 14th, which is a Tuesday evening for four Tuesdays.
Oh, I love how you did that, Sheva. It's just wonderful. So gracious and grace-filled. I just love the way you did that.
Blessings
to you. I'll see you August 11th.
Okay, great. Thank Bye-bye. You, Uzi.
Please email me, okay?
Absolutely. In that beginner workshop that we're just talking about, you definitely have very basic tools on the science of seeing how to create that order in your heart rhythm to attract more synchronicity into your life, more nonlinear experiences of the power of the heart. One of the things that we talked about in the email that went out inviting you all to this call was the fact that what to cause and effect science looks miraculous in quantum physics is quite natural, and that sometimes the straightest, the most effective or quick way to get from A to Z is not in a straight line, but to jump. And we know from quantum physics that things can jump into new states of being without necessarily having to go through a long linear progression of growth to do that. In a practical sense, I've seen this with the HeartMath system with a lot of gratitude that I feel towards the researchers and innovators that created it. Because as they, in their more linear way, paved the science out and mapped this for us, what took them many years to create, we can now access in a heartbeat. That actually being able to shift your experience of life, how you perceive it, how you interact with it, can happen as quickly as changing a radio dial. In a sense, as miraculous as that. Learning how to create and access in a moment that order in the heart can change how we look at things. And we know from a quantum physics perspective, when the viewer or the observer changes how they see what they see, then what they see changes. And in that way, we can also, in a step-by-step way, learn how to be the source of miracles in our own lives, as well as Shelley's story reveals for us in the lives of others. So I'll open up the call now for any other questions or any stories that anyone else would like to share. And if there's nothing else, then I'll just say thank you so much for joining us in our little oasis this evening, and we'll look forward to having you on the call next week. Any other questions?
Sheva?
Yes?
It's Nicole.
Hi.
I have a, I have something to share. I didn't realize it was a miracle, but I think it might be. Yesterday on my hike, I had sort of a panic attack. And I'm pretty sure it's a panic attack because I've never had one before, but I think it might be because my heartbeat was being really fast and I was very anxious to get out of the car. But so I went on this, you know, I went on the 20-mile hike yesterday, and a couple of times while we were going uphill towards the end, my heart skipped a beat and it kind of, you know, stopped, but then it would get back on track really quickly. And I just thought, oh, that's weird. So I just, you know, would take it slower, and I would just keep breathing. And then that last 2 miles, that was almost all uphill, you know, it happened again. And then we went downhill, thank God. And finally, you know, I was just catching my breath, and then we were getting in the car, and the windows were all rolled up, and there are people sitting beside me. The car was packed, and my heartbeat just kept beating and beating and beating, and I was just, you know, I had my hand over my heart, and I was just breathing, and all of a sudden, I was like, I need to get out of the car. Please stop, and it was in this calm manner, and I didn't know it at the time, but it was only, I'm only thinking of it as a miracle because the person who commented on it, she was older, and she was like, you were really calm during that, and it's really good that you were in tune with your body. And through listening to what you're talking about, I guess that's kind of like what you're saying, an alert calm.
Yes.
And being able to, you know, stay in tune makes you voice what your real concern is, what you need.
So
yes,
maybe that's
a
miracle.
Beautiful story, Nicole. I think absolutely, if you could imagine that, you know, for some people listening to this call, just the ability to know what they need, ask for it, and get their needs met would be a miracle in their own experience. And, of course, the tool that you were describing using is one of the tools we teach in the beginner workshop, the neutral tool, right?
Yes.
Being able to stay with your heart, even in those moments of challenge, actually can be a draw, as in Shelley's story as well, for something that seems negative to draw something that's actually very positive. Thank you so much for sharing your story, Nicole.
Anytime.
Nicole is a member of our Heart Mastery Program, and you know, a good example of how having the tools reinforced on a regular basis helps us to become radio stations of this coherent energy or this ordered energy in the world and the self-care.
Shava?
Yes.
Hi, it's Rebecca.
Hey, Rebecca.
I had something that felt like a miracle, and it's only just my own little life. It doesn't really extend beyond it, so it's not huge.
Maybe. We never know how our own little lives are impacting others.
Several years ago, I became very, very, very sick, and the doctors said I had endometriosis, and I was sort of devastated at the time, because what had been indicated is that, and this is not correct research because it was his own clinical sort of experience, but what he said is that it was because of my age and that I hadn't had a baby, and that that it would get worse and worse and potentially make me infertile, and I'd never be able to have a period again in all my life, and all these terrible, terrible things. And but I didn't believe them, because it came on in such a terrible way when my life was very painful. And especially when I had a lot of pain in my romantic relationships. And now I'm fine, and I'm on my own cycle, and I would have never thought as a woman I'd be so grateful for a menstrual period.
Mm-hmm.
I never thought I'd be so grateful and just not to be in pain. And I remember thinking when it was happening that if this is something my body is creating, why would I have to live with it my whole life? Because it's not like, it's not external. It's not like, it's not in my DNA. This is something my body is doing. And I think like it started to do it, it could stop. And it did. And I really felt clear that it would, and that I was going to be okay. And after several years, I was. And to me, that was a really big deal, because it gives me hope for other things that I have that are painful physically. But I also, interesting, like how we have scars, and you know, your body recreates 90% of itself. All I could think is that I'll have a new body next year. I don't have to be in this kind of pain. And but it remembers to create that scar over and over again on your elbow, on your forehead, and sometimes I wonder if my body remembers, like, being in that kind of pain, and yet it's better. Like, why our scars don't go away, and if that memory is kind of something to be honored rather than disappointed that you have a scar, because it still functions.
Well, you know, if we were to take the heart math research and apply it to some of what you've shared, and I think this is very important for the people who are listening in who may have physical pain or physical challenges, the miracle is not necessarily that the challenge goes away, but the miracle is that we have the power as human beings to make a new relationship to, or choose our relationship to, whatever we're dealing with and what we make that scar mean. And in doing that, whatever feeling state emotionally that generates in us either brings more order to our own system or more disorder to our own system. When we choose to meet our scars, whether they're physical, emotional, mental, or relational, as you pointed out, Rebecca, when we choose to meet those scars with compassion and love, it creates order in ourselves and in our world, that then makes us more accident prone to miracles, whatever the miracles might be. You know, it's interesting, this conversation is reminding me of some of my experience of using the tools and some of the miracles I've experienced in my own life, which usually have come when I've been able to transform my own worry or self-judgment or depression into genuine outgoing care, compassion, and love for others. One of those times when I was in a state of depression myself, and then I found out what was happening to women under the Taliban in Afghanistan. And so I started using some of the tools that we teach in the beginner workshop simply to radiate care, appreciation, love, and healing and support to women in Afghanistan and the plight that they were under. And intended that all the time that I spent in my little apartment washing my dishes and all of that would go to manifesting care for them, never particularly imagining that I would see a direct result of that. And that was the miracle for me, is that a week into applying the HeartMath tools in that way, I was working at an herbal pharmacy at the time, and three Afghan teenage girls showed up in my herbal pharmacy, of all things. Without going into a long-winded story about it, these young girls had smuggled cameras into Afghanistan and captured the first footage of what was happening to women there. That had been discovered by a news correspondent in the refugee camp in Pakistan, and he brought them to Sundance Film Festival, from where they were returning through a layover in Los Angeles. And because they had zits, they asked the news correspondent if she would bring them to some kind of pharmacy to get medication for their zits before they boarded their plane back to Pakistan. So even zits can be a source of the miraculous. These young women came to see me, and of course I gave them herbs for their zits, thinking, oh, this is an answer to my, this is a miracle, this is exactly what I was hoping for, not knowing that what would evolve from that was a long-standing relationship with these young girls, in which they, via email, translated letters I sent about the power of the heart into three Afghan languages and smuggled them into Afghanistan, bringing that message to women there who wrote me back, saying that their lives had been saved, just knowing that someone in the world cared. One woman, Fatima, wrote to me. Some of you may know this story because I tell it sometimes to talk about the strength of some of the tools in the beginner workshop, that she had bought the poison to drink to kill herself and her three daughters the next day when my letter arrived, because she didn't know that anyone in the world knew or even cared about what was happening to them. When I got her letter, that was a miracle in my life. When she got my letter, it was a miracle in hers. And that's one of the things I love about that connection and the power of the heart, is that somebody might want to star six their siren. We could all just take a moment right now to send our care to whoever is involved in needing that siren. That might be a nice note for us to end on, which is going to say that we can be each other's miracle with the power of the heart. One of my favorite stories is from a teacher, Carolyn Mace. I believe if you get her recording, Energy Anatomy, you can hear this story, that a woman was in a traffic jam, and everyone in the traffic jam was beeping their horns and frustrated, and obviously not being able to get where they needed to go on time. And it turned out that the traffic jam was caused by an accident, which she knew because sirens, just like the one we heard on the call, were going off as people were driving their cars on, or as the police officers are driving on the shoulder to get to the accident. Of course, no one exactly knew what was happening up ahead, and the accident was quite severe, and a woman in the car that was involved was near death. And as Carolyn Mace tells the story, this woman left her body and was hovering above the accident scene and could see or experience the agitation, judgment, impatience of all the people in the traffic jam behind her car. And their agitation, their irritation, their why doesn't this thing get out of my way, of course, God, this would happen to me today, was driving her further and further from her body. And then one woman far back in line had a totally different energy coming from her. An ordered, what I think she described as like a rainbow of light and care, was going from her into this woman's body in the crushed vehicle. And she said that she could audibly hear her saying to herself, I don't know what's going on up there, but whatever it is, please send my care, my protection, my love to the people involved. Well, the consciousness of the woman that was in the crushed vehicle was so lucid in this state that she actually made note of the license plate of the woman that was sending her care. The strength of that care was sufficient that it brought her back into her body. She was recovered from the vehicle where she was taken to hospital and remained in a coma for, I believe, up to a month. When she came to out of her coma, she remembered this woman and her license plate number and showed up at her doorstep with a bouquet of flowers to thank her for saving her life. That story is far-fetched for a lot of people, but for me, it really speaks to the heart of who we can be every day in our lives in a simple act of kindness, care, and appreciation. Not even the act. Obviously, this woman didn't do anything. She was stuck in traffic in her car, but through her intention, radiated her loving care to someone in need, someone she didn't even know what the circumstance was. So maybe we can complete the call tonight, as we so often do on these Heart Start calls, by paying it forward and just taking a moment to pause and appreciate anything that you might appreciate from what you've received this evening, and to radiate that appreciation to a person or a place in the world that you think could use that care, that love, that order. I thank you all so much for joining us. I really love being with you on these Monday nights and look forward to having you next week. If you have questions or stories that you haven't had the chance to share or ask tonight, I encourage you to email them to me, Sheva, which is S like Sam, H, E, V like Victor, A, at Sierra.com, F like fabulous, Y-E-R-A.com, Sheva@Sierra.com, or you can also call 310-581-1507. Thank you so much for joining us, and have a great night, everyone.